public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and thank you for another opportunity to be in church. I thank you for those that have come, and Lord, I do pray that each one of us has come here today with a hungry heart, desiring to worship you, to honor you, and to hear from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us, help us to receive the truth, and Lord, any decision we might need to make, whatever it be, I pray that we would do that in this service here today. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory for the fact that you did come into this wicked world and die on an old rugged cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. We thank you for the hope we have because of you. Lord, help us always to love you and to honor you. Forgive us, Lord, we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are on the eve of Christmas. And Christmas is the day when true Christians remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that being the case, I'm going to preach a message titled, On This Wise, On This Wise. And as you can see, I took the title from Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, where Matthew says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Basically, what he means is this is the manner or the way his birth came about. And then he proceeds in the remainder of this chapter to record how these events unfolded. Now, if you want more detail, more information, you can go over to Luke's Gospel where we studied in Sunday school and read the first two chapters. But right here we have Matthew's account, Matthew's inspired account of the birth of our Savior. From what Matthew recorded here, there are eight things that I want to point out this morning. But before I go any further, I want to encourage you not to get distracted by the fact that I said I have 8 points in the message, okay? I'm not going to preach real long. Y'all have known me long enough now, you know that I'm not going to keep you more than 3 or 4 hours at a time. So, but there are 8 things I want you to see from this, and I'll move through as quickly as I can. First of all, I want you to notice with me here a conception. A conception. The Bible says in verse number 18, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child. And in the end of verse number 20, the Bible says, For that which is conceived in her. That which is conceived in her. So one thing we have in Matthew's account is a conception. And just a simple reading of the passage reveals that this wasn't any ordinary conception. This was what you would call a divine conception. A miraculous conception. This was a supernatural conception. A conception where a man was not involved at all. In fact, we're told in verse number 23 that Mary was a virgin. So obviously this is a supernatural conception that we're reading about here in the scripture. It is one that it says twice came about through the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says at the end of verse number 18, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. It says she was found with child. Now, back in this day, about the only way a person could be found with child or people could recognize that a lady was pregnant was by the increase in size of her stomach. You know what I mean? They didn't have all the fancy things, the technology that we have nowadays. So eventually, through the growth of a woman's stomach, people realized this lady is with child. And here you have that same type of terminology. The Bible says she was found with child. Finally, after a certain amount of time, her pregnancy is revealed. But the Bible says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. How did she conceive? How did she come about to be pregnant? The Bible says it was of the Holy Ghost. If you look in verse number 20 again, the scripture says, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." This is direct involvement by the Lord. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 35 explains this. There the Bible says, the angel Gabriel speaking, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." Through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, this woman who was a virgin conceived a child and had this pregnancy and ultimately gave birth to a son. A son that we'll read about later on down in this passage. The first thing I see here is a conception. A supernatural, miraculous conception. You understand this is exactly how it had to be. Had a man been involved, y'all still listening to me? Had a man been involved, Jesus Christ would have been nothing more than a sinner like the rest of us. He would have been born with a fallen Adamic nature. It had to be. The only way he could come and be God and be our Savior was for it to be a miraculous divine conception. And that's exactly what you have recorded in the Bible. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. But here's something else, the second thing that I want you to notice in the passage. Not only a conception, but secondly, I see a conclusion. In verses 18 and 19, I see a conclusion. I'm talking about a conclusion that Joseph came to, the man that was Mary's husband. And really, there's a couple of conclusions he comes to. First of all, he concludes that Mary has been unfaithful. And if you get to thinking about it, that's a fairly logical conclusion. Amen? Fairly logical conclusion, because look at what the Bible says again in verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," look at it, "before they came together." Joseph knows that he has not been with Mary. He knows that. The Bible says in verse number 25, the same chapter, that he took unto him his wife in verse 25 and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He understands there has been no physical relationship whatsoever between him and Mary. So it's logical now that she's found with child for him to conclude that Mary has been unfaithful. It's a logical conclusion. It's the same one that everybody in this building would have come to were you in his situation. Amen? It's a logical conclusion. But I tell you something else he concludes. Not only that Mary's been unfaithful, that also he's going to put her away. He decides, that's what I'm going to do. Look at verse number 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." He concludes, hey, she's been unfaithful. I'm going to exercise my God-given lawful right to put her away. That was his right within the law, to put her away for being unfaithful to him. And he concludes, that's what I'm going to do. But if you read verse 19, you see that this is a merciful conclusion he arrives at. As the Bible says, he's a just man and not willing to make her a public example. He was minded to put her away privily. That's privately. Now, if you've ever read the Old Testament, studied the law, you understand that what he had the lawful right to do was bring Mary out to the public in front of the religious leaders of the day and have her stoned to death for her infidelity. That's what he had the lawful right to do. That's what the Bible says. A person under the law who committed adultery could be stoned to death for that sin. You know what I got to thinking, just kind of a side note, if we bring some of that back nowadays, it'd stop a lot of this nonsense that's going on. There's a whole lot more of this wicked mess going on now than I think we realize sometimes. But here's a man who says, you know what, I have the right to do this, but this is what I'm going to do. Instead of making her a public example and having her stoned to death, I'm simply going to put her away privately. I'm not going to make her a spectacle. I'm not going to require her to be killed. I'm just going to put her away privily. That's a man who has made up his mind. He's concluded, even though she's been unfaithful, or at least it appeared she had been unfaithful, I am going to show mercy. A merciful conclusion. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the Bible says in the book of James that those who show no mercy shall receive judgment without mercy. I believe, maybe I'm crazy, I believe the most merciful people on this planet ought to be God's people. We ought to demonstrate mercy more than any other group of people on this earth. And the main reason we ought to demonstrate such mercy is because we have a good comprehension of just how merciful God has been with us. You know what mercy's all about? Mercy's all about God not giving us what we deserve. How many of you in here this morning understand what you really deserve? I'm not talking about what you think you deserve. I'm not talking about what the world has told you you deserve. I'm talking about what you really deserve according to the Bible. You deserve to be burning in hell this morning. That's what you deserve. Well, it's quiet in here today, isn't it? That's what you deserve. But the Bible says because of his mercy, he saved you. You don't have to worry about going to hell. You don't have to worry about burning in those flames, winding up in the lake of fire because of the mercy that God has shown to you. And listen, if he can be so merciful to somebody who certainly did not deserve his mercy, the least I can do is be merciful to someone who doesn't deserve my mercy. This was a merciful conclusion that he came to. Here's the third thing. Need to move on. Not only a conception and a conclusion, but a third thing I see here is contemplation. Contemplation. The Bible says in verse number 20, but while he thought on these things, he's thinking about it. He's contemplating the whole situation. He's contemplating what he believes to be Mary's infidelity, probably wondering when it happened, how it happened, who she was with, just thinking about that in his mind. Also contemplating this situation of putting her away. He's decided that's what he's going to do, but he's also decided he's going to be merciful, and he's trying to figure out, work it all out in his mind. How can I do this as privately and secretly as I possibly can? How can I take care of this without making her an example? He's contemplating all of these events. But then here's a fourth thing I see, not only contemplation, but I see communication. Communication. See it in verse number 20. The Bible says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Look at it. Say. It's communication. While he's contemplating, while he's thinking about these things, the Lord appears to him through his angel in a dream. While he's asleep, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and he begins to speak to him. He says some things. There's communication. Here's another thing I want you to notice in verse number 20. That is clarification. When the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in the dream and starts talking to him, he gives him some clarification. he clears this situation up so that Joseph understands what actually happened, not what he thinks happened. You know, oftentimes what we think happened is a long way from what really happened. Isn't that the case? We are bad oftentimes as human beings of drawing conclusions about certain people or about certain situations. And at the time we draw the conclusion, we don't really have any evidence to support the conclusion that we've come to. Now, Joseph, he did have a little something there that would make him have a legitimate argument when he's thinking that Mary has been unfaithful. But many times with us, we don't have any evidence to support our conclusion whatsoever. We just make a judgment about somebody or about a situation with no evidence whatsoever. And many times, what we conclude is a long way from reality. And here's a situation where a guy has made a conclusion and God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to clear that thing up for him. Perhaps because he was a just man and because he decided he was going to handle Mary in a merciful way, God showed him some mercy and he kept him from making what would have been a very bad mistake. You know, I'm just crazy this way. I believe if we'll act the way God wants us to act and be merciful people and handle situations the way God wants us to handle them, that God will show us some mercy. And even when we're about to make a mistake or do something we don't need to do, God might just step into that situation and set up a roadblock or in some way give some type of clarification so that we won't proceed on and make a very foolish mistake in our lives. That's what he does with Joseph. He provides him with some clarification. He tells him exactly what happened. Look at verse 20 again. This is what the angel of the Lord says. Joseph, thou son of David. That shows you his Jewish lineage. He was a descendant of David. Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He clarifies what happened. He's saying to him, look, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. Go ahead and take her. Take your wife, because she hasn't been unfaithful to you. What has happened here is supernatural. It's of the Holy Ghost. He gives clarification. Here's something else I see. Confirmation. The angel of the Lord gives some confirmation here. Look at verse 21. First of all, he confirms to Joseph that Mary is going to have a child, that she's going to give birth to that child. Because he says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth. She shall bring forth. That is confirmation. She has conceived of the Holy Ghost, and she's going to have this child. She will bring forth. But then he also gives this confirmation. He confirms that it's going to be a son. He says, and she shall bring forth a son. Nowadays, we've got a lot of technology. Lady realizes she's pregnant. She can go well ahead of time now and have an ultrasound and find out whether it's a boy or a girl. You know what I'm talking about? And last I heard, we've even got to where we now have reveal parties. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all heard about those? Where you just get together and have a big party now just to reveal what the child's going to be. Well, they didn't have ultrasounds back here. Know what I mean? So there were no reveal parties going on at the time. None of that. You know when the father and mother normally found out what it was going to be? When it was born. But here's a situation where the Lord gives some confirmation ahead of time. He lets Joseph know, look, this is what she's going to have. She is going to have a child, and this child is going to be a son. She shall bring forth a son. Here's some more confirmation. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He confirms to him what the child will be named. You call his name Jesus. You know what the word Jesus means? It means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. In that name, in that one name, It tells you, first of all, who he was. Think about it. Jehovah saves. Do y'all understand that the Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament? Y'all understand that? He was deity. He wasn't just a person. Wasn't just a man. He was the Jehovah God of the Old Testament who came down here in a human body and, as the Bible says, dwelt among us. Jehovah saves. It tells you who he was, and it also tells you the main reason why he came. Jehovah saves. Why did he do it? Why did the Lord choose to leave heaven where everything's perfect and everything's wonderful and everything's glorious and everybody there is shouting you praise? Everybody there is bowing before you and worshiping you 24 hours a day. Why would he leave that to come to this? Why? Why would he leave a perfect environment surrounded by perfect people where he's worshiped day and night? Everybody there loves him. Everybody praises him. Everybody gives him glory. Why would he leave that to come down here to this? To where the majority of the people would hate him. The majority of the people would despise him. Most would never even understand who he really was. They wind up spitting in his face, hitting him with their fist, plucking the beard off of his face, accusing him of things that he never did, and ultimately driving nails in his hands and his feet and hanging him up in shame and humiliation to die on a cross. Why in the world would he do that? I could tell you why he did that. Because of the person that you looked at in the mirror this morning. He did that to save you. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He did it to save you. That's the main reason he came. Look at verse 21 again. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He did all that so he could be our Savior. So we wouldn't have to go to hell. Where we could be saved. That's why he did this. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Bible says God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned, my friend. He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. I just want to say before I move on, you don't have to leave here lost. You don't have to leave the same way you came. If you're unsaved, before you leave this place today, you can know what it means to be saved by the grace of God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, there is salvation available to anyone that will call on him by faith. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confirmation. Here's a couple other things and I'll be done. The next thing is context. We get some context about all of this that comes about. Verse 22. Now all this was done. Why was all this done? All this stuff that we're reading about here. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And then he's going to quote in verse 23 from Isaiah chapter 7 in verse number 14. That's the prophet he's talking about in verse 22. It was Isaiah who, long before any of this ever happened, prophesied that it would happen. So why was all of this done? Well, it was done to fulfill the word of God, to fulfill the prophecy made by Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14. Notice verse 22 says, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. The prophet was just the vessel that God used to speak his word. It's what God said, but he said it by the prophet. And here it is, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That name, again, tells you who he was, right? God. When Jesus is here on the earth, you know who that is? That's God. God with us. The last thing I want you to see is in verses 24 and 25, and that's a carrying out. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. You know what Joseph did? He did everything the Lord told him to do. He was a man of obedience. A man of faith. If you get to thinking about it. The Lord said, this is how she got pregnant. And he's like, okay, I'm good with that. That's faith, friend. To just have the angel of the Lord show up and say, look, guess what? It wasn't a man that got her pregnant. The Holy Ghost is how she conceived. You don't find anywhere in the text where he argues, where he doubts. He just accepts by faith what God said to him. And then he acted on what God said to him. Faith and obedience. Two of the greatest things that we need in our lives as believers. Faith and obedience. Just crazy enough to believe what God says and then do what God says. Faith and obedience. Let's bow our heads for prayer.